what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to Locked On Cubs. This is episode 14, and I'm just going to jump right into it with you. Still nothing really going on in free agency for the Cubs. Yu Darvish is still out there. I guess I can give the update on this. The Brewers were out, and the Brewers were in. Then we don't know if the Brewers have enough money, and the Brewers are definitely out, and the Brewers might be in. The Cubs are the front runners, but he's waiting on the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Yankees are maybe floating around somewhere. We really just have no idea what's going on with Yu Darvish right now, and that's probably holding up guys like Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, waiting to wait until he signs. Well, I guess maybe they're not waiting so much as other teams that are in on Yu Darvish are waiting for him to sign wherever he's going to go, so those guys can they can give their final offers to them. So it's just a stale market right now. I'm not going to say that it's just Yu Darvish holding everything up, because there's a lot of questions about why Eric Hosmer and J.D. Martinez are still out there, and really we haven't even heard a lot about Martinez in the last few weeks. So not going to jump into all the reasons for why that is. I think we all know that the CBA has a big impact and the way it's set up on how teams are operating this winter, but that's a conversation we don't need to get into. We've had that ongoing all off season, so we're going to talk about some more kind of fun stuff today. Really not anything all that hard hitting. I have one question from a fan, and I'm going to start out with something that I saw from NBC Sports Chicago. I think David Kaplan did it on a podcast where he looked at the top five Cubs players of his lifetime. And he just kind of ranked them subjectively, which is fine. And my friend Tony Andracki and Kelly Krall also ranked theirs. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So I wanted to do my own, but rather than do it for my lifetime, I went back to the year that I started being an actual fan, which was 1998. I became a fan in the heat of the Maguire-Sosa home run race, living in an area where it's heavily Cardinals fans. I really jumped on the Sammy Sosa bandwagon, and the Cubs made the playoffs and then broke my heart against the Braves. And from there, I became what I am now. I went ahead and ranked the top five hitters by wins above replacement, the worst five hitters by wins above replacement, the top five starting pitchers, the worst five starting pitchers, the top five relievers, and the worst five relievers. I thought that was pretty interesting. It's not really all that subjective. It's by wins above replacement or by ERA in the case of the worst pitchers and the worst relievers. Just some interesting stuff. I put out the top five, and then I also listed the names of the of 6 through 10 on each list, so it's really a top 10. So here we go. Top five hitters since 1998. I'm guessing you probably know most of these names. Sammy Sosa is number one, 38.3 wins above replacement. Aramis Ramirez, 25.8. Anthony Rizzo, 24.0. So it's almost certain that he'll move into second place on that list this year. Derek Lee at 22.4 and Chris Bryant at 21.6. He will probably get past Derek Lee. He most likely will get past Aramis Ramirez and maybe even Anthony Rizzo. So that is your top five: Sosa, Ramirez, Rizzo, Lee, and Bryant. And it's worth looking back maybe next offseason to see how that has shuffled a bit. Rounding out the top 10, Soriano, Starlin Castro, Giovanni Soto, Moises Alou, and Mark Grace. Five worst hitters. Some of these names were a little surprising, others not so much. Joe Mather was negative 1.6 WAR in his one season with the Cubs. After him, Ronnie Cedeno at negative 1.5. Josh Vitters, no surprise there, negative 1.5. Aaron Miles, also no surprise, negative 1.4. And Coy Hill, negative 1.4. Rounding out the top 10, Jose Nieves, Chad Myers, who is famous for getting hit by a pitch twice in a game and not going to first base, and Steve Clevenger, Manny Alexander, and Lenny Harris. All right, your top five starting pitchers since 1998. Probably no surprises here. Carlos Zambrano, number one at 30.2, wins above replacement. Kind of interesting, Kerry Wood, number two, 20.7 wins above replacement. Jake Arrieta, 18.5 WAR. Mark Pryor, in his basically only two full seasons in the starting rotation, you know, plus that kind of half season in 2004, and then the awful couple starts that he made in 2006. Mark Pryor, 16.3 WAR. And then just behind him, John Lieber at 16.1. Rounding out the top 10 is Ryan Dempster, John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Ted Lilly, and Matt Clement. All right, your bottom five starting pitchers. For this, I ranked them by ERA and stipulated that they had to have 50 innings pitched. The worst, Angel Guzman, 7.50 ERA in 14 starts. Justin Germano, 6.93 ERA in 12 starts. Ruben Quevedo, some people might remember him from, I think, 1999, 2000, 2001, that era. 6.40 ERA, 15 starts. The man that they got for Carlos Zambrano in the trade with the Marlins, Chris Volstad, 6.31 ERA and 21 starts. And then Sergio Mitre, 6.15 and 18 starts. Rounding out the top 10, Carlos Marmol, you'll remember he was a starter when they first called him up in 06. Kyle Farnsworth, who was a starter in 1999 and maybe 2000. Sean Estes, Andrew Lorain, who was from that same 2000-2001 era, and Edwin Jackson. All right, top five relievers. No shock here, Carlos Marmol, 6.6 WAR. Sean Marshall, 4.9. Pedro Strop, 4.7. Very possible that he'll move into second place on this list this season. Hector Rondon at 3.9, and Bob Howry, 3.3. Top 10, Kyle Farnsworth, Joe Borowski, Kerry Wood, Ryan Dempster, and Michael Wirtz. Some of the other names going beyond the top 10 were pretty interesting. Jeff Fassero came in at number 11, and Tom Gordon at number 12. Those were big-time Cubs relievers in 2001. All right, your worst five relievers. This is finishing out the list here. If you're tired of listening to me just list things off, this will be it for you. It's by 30 innings pitched and ranked by ERA. Maybe a lot of you guys listening don't remember this name. I only vaguely remember him, but Dan Serafini, 43 and a third innings pitched, 7.49 ERA. Ugh. Adam Warren, he pitched exactly 30 innings out of the bullpen with a 6.60 ERA. Jeff Stevens, who I believe was with the team in 2006, 37 and a third innings pitched, 6.27 ERA. Todd Wellemeyer, he pitched 84 and a third innings with an ERA of 6.19. How he made it into that many games, I have no idea. Maybe the answer is just Dusty Baker. And then Daniel Garibay, who I'm sure most people don't remember, 31 and a third, I guess, 5.74 ERA. Finishing out that top 10, Scott Sanders, Rafael Dolis, Steve Rain, Brian Schlitter, and Francis Beltran. Is your company looking to target the Cubs fan demographic? Then you should be sponsoring Locked On Cubs. Our rates are reasonable, so email me at lockedoncubs@gmail.com to find out more information. All right, here comes a question from the fans this week. Question is, should the Cubs turn to Alex Cobb? He doesn't have the same ceiling as Yu Darvish, but comes at fewer years, fewer dollars, etc., etc. I fear they could lose out on additional options waiting for you. My response to this is, I don't think they should go to Alex Cobb until they're positive that Yu Darvish is not going to sign with them. And it may be at this point that they have a good feeling he's not going to. I don't know what's going on in Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer's heads right now. I don't know specifically what's going on in Yu Darvish's head either. I know that he probably prefers the Dodgers or the Rangers. Those are the teams he's pitched for. Those are the teams he's most comfortable with. But I know the Cubs are still in it as of right now. They still have a chance. So if you still have a chance to get your number one guy, I don't see any reason to give up on that and go to Alex Cobb or Arrieta or Lynn or whoever it may be. I think kind of what I said earlier on this topic is Darvish is going to be most likely the very first top starting pitcher to sign. Jake Arrieta is not going to want to agree to, let's say, a 4-year, $100 million deal right now with a team if Yu Darvish is still out there and maybe he gets, let's just say, 6 years and $180 million. That's not to Arrieta's benefit. He would benefit more to let Darvish sign for that money and then be the best guy remaining on the market and let his price go up as well. The problem with this is we don't normally see this happen where all these pitchers get to the beginning of February with pitchers and catchers reporting in less than 2 weeks with basically every starting pitcher left on the market. That, I mean, I don't want to say that's never happened, but I can't remember that happening. So it could have an interesting effect if Darvish does get that big contract. Arrieta may not get that boost that he's looking for. So we're kind of in uncharted waters on how that's going to work in free agency. So with that said, maybe we will start seeing guys like Alex Cobb, Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn start taking those deals that they can get so that they can get with that team and get into camp and have an uninterrupted season. But I don't believe it's going to happen that way. I think it will be Yu Darvish signing first. And like I said, if the Cubs still believe they're in on Darvish, I don't see why they should sign Alex Cobb, at least not right now. The important thing to remember is that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are not going to sign Darvish to money that will preclude them from signing a guy like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or whoever they might target next offseason. The money they give Darvish will not stop them from signing Bryce Harper. It may mean they have to get more creative with contract extensions for guys like Chris Bryant or Addison Russell, Javier Baez, or it may mean that they have to find a way to shed a contract. I don't know if they'd necessarily be looking to move John Lester, but they could be looking for a salary dump on Jason Hayward. Who knows? Maybe Hayward has a great season, and that salary dump is a little bit more palatable. Maybe someone takes on his whole salary next year and gives the Cubs a lottery ticket prospect. I don't know. That's all really speculative at this point. But the major point here is there shouldn't be any fear that signing Darvish to whatever deal the Cubs might give him would preclude them from signing Bryce Harper or whoever they want to sign in the future. Theo Epstein's not going to operate that way. So from that point of view, nobody should fear signing Darvish over Alex Cobb, who comes with less money or less years. Personally, I would suggest as a fan, don't worry about how much money these guys make or how many years they sign him to. I guess if you had to be worried about one over the other, it's the years, because you don't want to see a guy like Darvish still on the roster 6 years from now and not pitching well or getting shelled and just being stuck with him. That's not a fun place to be, because you don't want to root against a guy on your favorite team. But as for the money that he makes, you know, that's not your money. That's Tom Ricketts's money, and Tom Ricketts has plenty of money. So don't worry about that, so long as it's not precluding the Cubs from signing Bryce Harper. Long answer, I guess, shorten it down. No, I don't think they should sign Cobb or anybody else until they're absolutely positive that Yu Darvish is not going to be coming. They may be already there, and they may just have that really strong gut instinct and be working on a deal with a guy like Cobb or Arrieta. But at this point, I think it makes more sense to wait out Yu Darvish and find out where he's going to end up. Because at this point, it looks like the Dodgers and the Yankees, at least, have to shed contracts before they can sign him. I know the Yankees have done a little bit of that. The Dodgers have looked into those options, but haven't found anybody willing to take anyone off their hands. Really, the Cubs are in the best spot just to make their best offer and say, you know, if you want to sign with us, this is what we can give you, and then just force Yu Darvish's hand to either just determine it's not going to happen with the Dodgers or Yankees, or the Texas Rangers aren't going to give me the money the Cubs will, and then just make his call. All right, final segment. Not a whole lot going on. I just wanted to fondly remember the Alex Avila era with the Cubs. I never really spoke to him in the clubhouse. He seemed like a nice guy. Most people spoke highly of him. He was always very friendly with the media, as far as I could see. So, you know, from my perspective, you know, go get your money, Alex Avila. I don't Maybe that's announced by now. I didn't look to see how much money he got or how many years, but he's in with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's going to be basically their starter at catcher after they lost Chris Iannetta to the Colorado Rockies. They needed a new starting catcher, so that's what he's going to be for them. And so, he got whatever he got with money, and he's going to get a starting job, which he would not have gotten with the Cubs. Last year with the Cubs, he hit 3 home runs, had a very nice .369 on base percentage, and posted a .750 OPS, 0.7 WAR in 35 games with the Cubs, and he had a very underrated overall 2017 season between the Cubs and Tigers. It's a very good pickup for Arizona. I'm sure they're very thrilled with it, but they're also, I'm sure, hoping that he can repeat his offensive performance. His hitting numbers from 2012 to 2016, very ugly. Slash line for those four seasons, .222 batting average, .337 on base, .362 slugging, a .93 OPS plus. That's not good. I know he was very good with the bat in 2017. I believe he was really good in 2011 as well. But I just don't see the bulk of his career suggest that he may not be the offensive catcher that we saw in 2017. Who knows? Could happen, I guess. So Arizona is going to take him. He's going to get a starting job, and good for him. For the Cubs, they've lost both catchers, I guess all three catchers that they had, other than Victor Caratini, that backed up Wilson Contreras. They lost Miguel Montero when they released him. Rene Rivera is signed with the Los Angeles Angels, I believe, and now Avila has signed with the Diamondbacks. So they have Chris Jimenez, who I'm pronouncing his name. Chris Jimenez. Wow, that was the second time I pronounced his name wrong. Chris Jimenez. They've signed him to a minor league contract. That's, I think, part of the enticement of Yu Darvish. Who knows if he's going to end up signing or not. Is that where the Cubs go with their backup catcher at this point? It's, again, he could be sent down to AAA or released in spring training. So we don't know if he's going to end up backing up Wilson Contreras or not. So a very solid chance Victor Caratini ends up on the roster. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Caratini. My gut says that he'll be playing every day either at catcher or first base at AAA this season until the Cubs need a catcher or rosters expand in September. Most likely they'll need a catcher at some point, either Jimenez or Contreras will go on the DL for a short period of time, but that's what I see for Caratini. Up at Locked On Cubs on the website yesterday, Daniel Sowers took a nice look at Victor Caratini. It's a little quick look, but kind of put a couple things together and looked at him as a catcher and his best path forward for 2018, so give that a look. And that's really all I have for you today. Sorry again, another short podcast, but we're kind of stuck in purgatory here on Locked On Cubs without the Cubs doing anything. If they go sign Yu Darvish tomorrow and then make a trade for somebody a few days later, give me plenty to talk about. I would happily have that stuff to talk about if it were to happen. But at this point, the best things we have are Chris Jimenez and saying goodbye to Alex Avila and answering your questions and, I guess, listing out the best players of the last 20 years. So that's it. Give me a follow at Lockdown Cubs on Twitter. You can email me questions or tweet them at me there. My email is lockdowncubs@gmail.com. Please, please, please leave those reviews on iTunes. I love reading them. I haven't had any recently, but it does help. It helps so much when you leave those reviews. Oh yeah, last question. I did have one more from a fan. Frank Henninger asked me what the worst Star Wars character is. Can it be anyone other than Jar Jar Binks? Come on. All right, thanks very much for listening, and I will hopefully have better news for you next time.